I will call the remote hearing of the Environment and Natural Resources Finance and Policy Committee to order. Today is February 3rd, 2022. This meeting is held in accordance with Rule 10.01, which was passed, and allows for remote hearings. All remote hearings are recorded and live streamed by House Public Information. The clerk will take attendance by roll.
Chair Hansen, present. Vice Chair Wozelik, Amy.
Wozelik, present.
Lead Heinzman, Josh. Lead Heinzman, Josh. Acom, Patty.
Present.
Ackland, Susan.
Present.
Backer, Jeff.
Backer, present.
Becker Finn, Jamie.
Present.
Eklund, Rob.
Present.
Fisher, Peter.
Fisher, present.
Green, Steve.
Present.
Igo, Spencer. Igo, Spencer.
Igo, present.
Jordan, Sydney.
Jordan, present.
Keeler, Heather.
Keeler, present.
Lee, Fu.
Lee, present.
Lippert, Todd.
Lippert, present.
Lewick, Dale.
Lewick, present.
Morrison, Kelly.
Morrison, present.
Nelson, Nathan.
Nelson, present.
Tice, Tama.
Tice, present.
Heinzman, Josh.
Present.
Present. Thank you.
Quorum is present. Members, we have several minutes that we have to take action on, starting from last spring, and then we have our interim meetings as well. So we need to take these each as a motion. It's my understanding we do not have to do a roll call, but each does need a motion. So I'm going to go right from my list and go, Representative Heinzman, would you like to move the minutes for April 19th?
Yeah, that would be fine. I would make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Heinzman moves the minutes for April 19th, 2021. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? The minutes are approved. Representative Wozelik, would you like to move the minutes for June 23rd, 2021?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Wozelik moves the minutes for June 23rd, 2021. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? The minutes are approved. Representative Lewick, would you like to move the minutes of September 14th, 2021?
Mr. Chair, so move.
Representative Lewick moves the minutes of for September 14th, 2021. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, the minutes are approved. Representative Keeler, would you like to move the minutes for October 27th, 2021?
I would move that, Chair.
Representative Keeler moves the minutes for October 27th, 2021. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? The minutes are approved. Representative Fisher, would you like to move the minutes for January 18th, 2022?
I will have to pass on that because I was not at that meeting, sir.
Gosh, we were going so well.
Sorry about that.
Representative Tice, would you like to move the minutes for January 18th?
I would. So moved.
Representative Tice moves the minutes for January 18th, 2022. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Ayes have it. Minutes are approved. Members and Minnesotans, we have three bills on the calendar today. We're starting back with actual action for the bills that we're hearing. I anticipate hearing two or three or four bills each time we meet this session. And for the Minnesotans watching, you know, when we have bills, there are several types of bills that we're considering. And the first bill we have here today is from Representative Becker Finn. Some of these bills are not coming from an advocacy group. They come from a member. And they're written by the member with the help of nonpartisan staff based on input we've heard Other bills, like the bill I'll be authoring, are the work of interest groups and the agencies who have been working on some technical problems and challenges that have vexed us with law for some time and are trying to resolve those. And a bill gets put together as a compromise that is brought here. I'm bringing that bill. And then the third bill, trying to make sure we're being bipartisan during this session, Representative Erdahl has a bill that we had hoped was carried last year, but fell through the cracks, and want to make sure that we are considering that this year is a local bill for him. And when we say a local bill, it affects his district, but also has statewide implications. So there's some of the types of bills that we will be hearing during the session, and I anticipate that will continue. We also have some reports. Just I'll foreshadow next Tuesday when we get to the end of the hearing. So first up, members, we have House File 2764, Representative Becker Finn, Rough Fish Designations Evaluation Report Required. Representative Becker Finn, would you move that House File 2764 be laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Becker Finn moves that House File 2764 be laid over for possible inclusion. Representative Becker Finn, to your bill.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So the bill before us today is what I am referring to as the No Junk Fish Bill. So as mentioned by the chair, hopefully folks remember our discussion last year around specifically around gar, which are one species of rough fish in Minnesota. That amendment actually came from members of the public reaching out to me with concerns about the large numbers of gar that were being taken and essentially being wasted after they were killed for sport. And over the last year, and after that GAR discussion last year, I've continued to hear from more Minnesotans and others in support of the efforts around GAR, but also sort of people sort of awakening to this awareness of the discrepancies in the law currently in Minnesota regarding rough fish and game fish. And so for folks who are not familiar with our fish regulation handbooks, fish in Minnesota are essentially, fish species in Minnesota are essentially divided into three categories in our state. So game fish are like our walleye, our state fish, and other things that people pursue for sport and food, things like, you know, northerns and muskies, bass, those types of species are considered game fish. And then we have rough fish, which, you know, we have a list of fish that are included as rough fish, and those include carp, buffalo, sucker, sheep's head, bowfin, gar, goldeye, and bullhead. So generally, they don't have any limitations on them, and so that's sort of what the difference is. Is that,
I just said that we'll be at the front door of the building.
with that interruption. So we've got game fish, we've got rough fish, of which there are just a couple designated species that are considered rough fish, and then kind of every other kind of fish falls into the category of other. And those mostly are things that people don't catch or take in any way. They're smaller species and things that typically don't concern humans as much. And so there's no scientific distinction in the basis for what makes a rough fish or a game fish. And in fact, things have really changed over time. And so I have behind me, I'm not being paid anything. I just really love the Great Minnesota Fish Book. It's one of the favorite books in my household. A lot of great information. And as that book lays out, it's a Minnesota Historical Society book. As crazy as Minnesotans are for walleyes today, during the state's early years, no one paid the fish much heed. In its first annual reports of the late 1870s, the Minnesota Fish Commission hardly mentions walleyes other than to lump them with bass and other fish that might be propagated down the road. So, you know, there really isn't a scientific reason of why things end up in one category or the other. And I think our testifiers are going to share more about that. So really the practical difference for us and our constituents is that there are limits on how many game fish a person can take. You know, we're all familiar with that. A couple weeks ago, I was up at the Lake of the Woods after walleye, and you know, we're all used to looking in the booklet and kind of looking up, depending upon what lake you're on, how many fish you can take. And that, you know, that's based on science. And it changes. It can change year to year based on the populations and the research that the DNR does, and making sure that we're not overtaking, you know, taking too much of any of our fish as a resource. And so rough fish and other fish are not protected in that way. There are really no limits. And there's really not a lot being done to make sure that we're not taking more from the ecosystem, taking more than should be taken. So I'll turn it over to my testifiers now. I'm obviously not a scientist. I'm an angler and a parent of anglers as well. But with that, I will turn it over to my first testifier to say more about this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Dr. Solomon David, if you could introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you very much. My name is Solomon David, and I'm an assistant professor of biological sciences at Nicholls State University in Louisiana. Is it possible to share my screen for a couple of quick images there? All right, I'm going to switch to that really quickly. Just came in. Okay, what I wanted to quickly just share to reiterate Representative Becker Finn's start on this bill is that rough fish really don't have any scientific basis. This terminology actually arose around the 1800s when boats had to move large amounts of fish. Some of them were considered to be more valuable and they were fully processed. So they're considered to be dressed fish, whereas fish that were not as valuable, they did not have the, they were not filleted and processed the same way. They were considered to be rough dressed fish. And as boats had to move large amounts of fish through shallow waters during hot days, they oftentimes discarded those rough-dressed fish. So we believe this to be the origin of that rough fish terminology. It was later adopted by fisheries biologists in terms of native fishes that they believed were harming preferred game fish populations. Since then, the science does not support this. So that has been disregarded over time, but it's taken time to sort of move away from this rough fish designation. The image I wanted to show you all here is of three native species. One of them is the bowfin, the other one's the long-nosed gar, and the other one is the largemouth bass, a ubiquitous game fish species. But I wanted to reiterate that these are human constructs. These three species are native species that have important roles to play in their native ecosystems. I wanted to point out a lack of fisheries management for rough fishes. Some of these images here show buffalo fish that's oftentimes the target of bow fishers. Here we have a scene from Oklahoma where bow fishers shot over 1,000 gars and just simply threw them back into the water. So we looked at regulations in a recent paper that I was co-author of and found that throughout the United States, there's either unlimited or practically unlimited harvest regulations for a lot of these rough fishes. The suckers, the bowfin, the gars, and the buffalo. And these are long-lived species. Not only do we have a lack of regulations, we have a lack of research on these fishes. What I'm showing here is the game fishes, your typical salmon and trout, yellow perch, and walleye. We reviewed papers put out by the American Fisheries Society, the oldest and largest fisheries organization in the world, and we looked at all of the papers they put out. Game fishes received 11 times more research than rough fishes like our suckers, catfishes, and gars. There are a couple fishes that we consider to be rough fish escapees who have had somewhat of an improved reputation over the past several years, an example being the alligator gar. There were still five times more papers and research done on those game fish relative to these escapees. So we have a human construct which doesn't have any scientific basis. We have a lack of regulation across most of the 50 states, and we have a lack of research information, including Minnesota. And speaking with the DNR, there's a dearth of information on these species. And so I would strongly support the need for research to be done to find out, do we need regulations on some of these fishes, or are some of these populations okay? And with that, I will turn it back over to Representative Becker Finn.
Representative Becker Finn, let's go through the each of the testifiers and then we'll open up for questions. Tyler Winter.
Yes. Good afternoon, Chair Hansen and committee members. My name is Tyler Winter. I thank you for the opportunity to testify here today in favor of House File 2764. For the last 20 years, I've been advocating for Minnesota's native fish. In that time, I have caught 50 species of Minnesota's fish and appeared in a few fishing shows. I'm a proud member of the Isaac Walton League and a rod and gun conservationist. I believe that managed hunting and fishing creates stakeholders who are dependent on the resource. No one who enjoys pursuing native fish should want them eliminated, which is why rod and gun conservation seeks a balance between utilization and protection. Without utilization, there are no stakeholders. And without protections, there are no resources. Last summer, I filmed a fishing show for the Mediator Network. We targeted river and shorthead red horse. And we addressed this balance by discussing the rarity of river red horse and the edibility of shorthead red horse. However, there is no balance in Minnesota's fishing regulations. Native non-game fish are effectively unmanaged until they receive a conservation designation. Either or management creates confusion, resentment, non-compliance, and erodes manager credibility. Most insidiously, it also minimizes the number of advocates. Unmanaged species are seen as too common to warrant attention, and designated species are off limits to sportsmen. This effect is magnified for fish, which are effectively invisible until they're caught. Most anglers aren't actually even aware that there are 26 species of native rough fish to Minnesota. The Minnesota chapter of the Isaac Walton League has just passed a resolution supporting management of our native non-game fish. All sports people, especially those who utilize rough fish, should support this bill. It is the first step towards balanced and coherent management of Minnesota's native fish. Thank you again for your time, and I'd be happy to answer any questions as long as they're not where my specific fishing locations are.
Thank you, Mr. Witter. Next, we'll hear from the DNR, Brad Parsons, DNR Fish and Wildlife Fisheries Manager. Welcome.
Yes, my name is Brad Parsons, Section of Fisheries Manager for the Division of Fish and Wildlife, Minnesota DNR. In the interest of full disclosure, and maybe this is kind of funny, I met Dr. David this morning. We had set up a call to talk about management of gar, which the legislature has directed us to do. And so I had no idea he was testifying today until this morning. And Mr. Winter, I have corresponded with him. He's been a very strong advocate for our native fishes. And I would like to put forward that so has the department recently, anyway. We, in the last several years, we have removed fish from the rough fish list, American eel, burbot, most people know it as eel pout, northern cisco, most people know it as tulibee, and whitefish. So we are concerned about these things. And there has been new science that has come in. There's no question about that. Some of the ways that apparently big mouth buffalo can live to extraordinary ages are things that we have never heard before. And we're in the midst of processing that. I will also add that our fisheries budget is supported in a great amount by the Sport Fish Restoration Act, or Dingell Johnson, Pittman Robertson. So what we have been able to do in the past has been somewhat limited by that because we need that federal reimbursement and we can't work on things like that. I will say there is a national effort that's bubbling up to say that, you know, with things like bow fishing, species that we have not looked at in the past are actually sport fish. And I tend to agree with that, and the department tends to agree with that. You know, we are very supportive of this concept. When I've had this job for a little over 3 years now, And that is one of the things I really wanted to do when I moved into this position, was to raise the awareness and the value of native species. These are not everything that is not a walleye or a sunfish is not a carp. So, and unfortunately, that is some of what is out there. These are valuable native species, and I get that. We have been talking within the department over the last couple of years. Personally, I hate the term roughfish, and Dr. David, thank you. I didn't even know where that term came from. Thanks for enlightening me today. I don't like that term, and we really do need to reclassify things. The important thing to remember in regard to this bill is that we have a vital commercial fishing operation in Minnesota where species like carp and buffalo are harvested for human consumption. It's an important livelihood for many Minnesotans. Unfortunately, I wish I could pull it off the top of my head, but I do not know the number of commercial fishermen we have. But these fish are good to eat, and they are saleable. And in many places, they are in numbers that commercial fishing is a very viable opportunity. We also understand that bow fishing is an incredibly attractive sport. And it has brought many people in. And, you know, Tyler mentioned that, and I have reached out to the bow fishing community. But one of the things we also have to look at here is we need some outreach with the commercial fishing community, and we need the outreach with the bow fishing community. We have started that process, but there is a lot to do there. One of the things that we talked with Dr. David about this morning was our lack of biology on these fish. I alluded to that earlier. I learned more this morning about gar than I've learned in 35 years as a fishery scientist, and one whose, frankly, interest was piqued in becoming a fisheries biologist by having a very large long-nosed gar come up behind my bobber on a lake in Wisconsin. So I respect these fish, I truly do, and the department does as well. And we're very interested in this. We could provide some preliminary information by October as this bill speaks about. However, we don't have a great deal of science. We are doing way better, honestly, than a lot of other states on non-game fish science. And a lot of that is due to the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, which funded our early invasive carp work. And with that, because we had so few invasive carp, and because my colleagues in other states said we wish we had more information on fish like buffalo and paddlefish and freshwater drum, et cetera, before the invasion, we have more of that than a lot of people do, a lot of other states do. And I'm proud of that. But to put something based on science on some of these species that we know so little about is tricky. And that's why, you know, I'm happy to provide something by that date. I just don't know exactly what we're being asked to do. And I know Representative Becker Finn had a discussion with my director yesterday about this. I love this concept. I honestly do. Mr. Winter is a great advocate. We have dozens of other people like him around the state. Fishing for species that aren't necessarily a walleye or a pike or a bass is great. And I fully support the concept. I'm honestly still a little confused about the implementation, but that is something that I believe we can work very closely together with this committee in order to implement.
Representative Becker Finn, why don't you give some legislative intent?
Thank you, Chair Hansen. For the record, you know, this is not, this bill on its own is not meant to be an end-all be-all solution to sort of the conundrum and the things that we're all acknowledging in this meeting today. This is to get the ball rolling and sort of start the process of laying out exactly officially in state documents from the DNR of what is needed. You know, and at least in my years of service, we've never had an ask for funding to do more research. We certainly have the students and the resources available through the University of Minnesota. And, you know, the idea here is that we want to keep this conversation going, and we need the DNR to be an active part of it. And what I heard talking to Mr. Ofeldt yesterday and with your testimony today is that that's something you're willing to do. And if there are ways for us to fine tune the bill to make it more specific, that's absolutely fine. I'm a big believer in the legislative process, as there's a reason that we do it this way, so that we can get feedback and we can make things better. So the intent is not that you're going to come out with some proposed regulations immediately on exactly what number of fish you can harvest of any of these species. The idea is that we find out what it is that we need. If we need research, if you do the research and you figure out that, you know, we now can establish that there's really no scientific reason to make the distinction between these species, then let's keep having that conversation and come back next year and keep moving forward on this issue in a really careful and intentional way that's based in science. So thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to clarify that.
Mr. Parsons, does that help?
Yes, absolutely it does. I mean, again, I truly believe that Representative Becker Finn and the other testifiers and I are all on the same page here, as the department is. And, it's so hard when you're talking about social science versus fishery science. I think there's a lot of fishery science here. I really personally, viscerally, don't care for the term rough fish, because it does, in essence, say these fish aren't worth as much as something else. And we've done this through pushing from people like Mr. Winter. We put things in the regulations book about, if you catch this fish and you're not going to utilize it, put it back in the water. It's a native animal. It has a place in the ecosystem. And yep, there it is. Thank you. And I'm proud of that. And there are communities that utilize fish that a lot of other people don't do. And I think that's wonderful as well. And they should be. Again, the outreach we're going to have with the commercial fishing community and the bow fishing community is very, very important. And it has started, but it's going to take a little bit more time. But again, I truly believe we're all on the same page here.
And Mr. Parsons, I think also outreach with the tribal communities would be important with that outreach as well.
Yes, absolutely.
We have four hands so far. So I'm going to go with Representative Green, Representative Lewick, Representative Jordan, and then Representative Heintzman. So Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to the testifier. Listening to this, when I first read the bill, I wasn't really aware of exactly what you're trying to accomplish. So I appreciate the explanation, but it sounds to me like the bill's kind of jumping the gun, and Mr. Parsons can jump in if he wants, but it looks like we're going to be putting a mandate onto the agency, and I don't see any funding in here. And furthermore, it sounds like the science may not even be available yet. And so my concern is that if this does go through, we're going to see these agencies coming back at us saying that now that we passed a law demanding that they perform an act, that we're going to have to start looking into the budget for funding for that, as well as maybe some rulemaking. So I think it sounds like they're already doing this, and as these different species come up, listening to Mr. Parsons, it sounds like they're taking care of it as they're coming forward, which might be the proper way to do it. It doesn't sound like they've been sitting back and doing nothing, and I appreciate that. So perhaps we're probably just jumping the gun a little bit on this bill.
And Representative Green, we're holding the bill over. We are a finance committee. I anticipate there will be a fiscal note there appears to be some funds available. So we'll be anticipating that and looking at, when we prepare the bill, what the cost is for the writing the report. Representative Becker Finn to Representative Green.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And I think this is asking the DNR to do a little bit more on this issue. I do appreciate that, you know, it seems like they're on the right track already. And again, just would emphasize your point that this is being laid over, and also open if folks want to meet outside of committee to work on improving the bill. I'm always happy to do that.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the explanation. I've made my comments, but we'll just, with the four more questions or more, we probably better move on.
Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And interesting subject here. And good to see Mr. Parsons. We miss him up in my part of the world, around Mille Lacs Lake. A couple comments here. One, when I was a kid, I attended the smokehouse for Red Horse and Whitefish. And I had a great uncle that drove all the way from Chicago to spend 2 weeks fishing for bullheads right in the lake next door to me. So people discount those kind of fish from a commercial or an eating basis, mostly due to lack of education. Here's my concern about if we start tasking the DNR directly with funding, I see this as a subject that's really ripe for LCCMR work. And so I would be cautious about putting dollars directly to the DNR to start this route, because then we get into the argument about, okay, we can't be duplicating what the legislature's already funded over in the LCCMR world. But to me, this looks like absolutely one of the base functions that the LCCMR funding should be looking at. And I would ask the DNR right away to start looking at outlining the kind of science they need, or they would, to help them better deal with this. So that's just some general comments. And again, hats off to Mr. Parsons. We've sat in the same room a lot of times and discussed Mille Lacs Lake stuff. But this makes sense, but don't get ahead of ourselves here and complicate some hard science look in the LCCMR world. That's my comments. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Becker Finn to Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think Representative Lewick and I might actually be on the same page, even if he doesn't realize it. But I think one of the reasons that this is asking for a report is so that we can assess what is actually needed. So, I mean, that was a choice on my part to not direct them to do the research off the bat. But take this in a really intentional manner so that we can see what is actually needed. And would love from someone from the U of M or someone else to apply for LCCMR funds in the future to do more around fish that aren't walleye and are game fish species. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lewick, respond.
Oh, no, thank you. That's very important that we don't complicate the LCCMR process, but to trigger other folks that legitimately do that hard science research to be looking at that'd be a good thing.
I'd like to give Mr. Winter a chance to reply, and then back to Representative Jordan. Mr. Winter.
I think it's important to note that the Minnesota fishing regulations are in large part social science, that the because it's an open access fishery, it's really difficult to actually control harvest. And so the fishing regulations serve as a very important educational tool for the public. The most common question I get when I catch a red horse, like in a park, right, is that a carp? And then I have to go like through this whole spiel about, no, it's not a carp. And there's actually, we have six species of red horse in Minnesota. And, you know, like this one's a shorthead red horse and so on and so forth, because the fishing regulations just say rough fish the season is continuous and the limit is unlimited. And so we have all of these native fish that are largely underutilized and unknown simply because the place people go to get information about fish in the fishing regulations does not list them, right? And so when I take people fishing, they're thrilled to catch a bunch of big fish. If we use the fishing regulations to help educate the public about these fish, it could help like angler recruitment. You know, people stop fishing because they don't catch anything. But if they knew the opportunities that were out there and how much fun it is to catch a red horse or a buffalo or a bowfin, I think we'd see benefits from a social aspect that we don't actually need a lot of hard biological data to justify ethical, responsible, sustainable, like harvest, like that is educating people. Thank you.
Representative Lord.
Oh, that's fine. I will just make a comment. I heard Mr. Parsons mention a couple times about the science. And let's start with basic science and we can build from there. I would ask everybody that's looking for a project to start exploring what's already available.
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And actually, Representative Bluick set me up pretty nicely there. I was going to ask about the science of fish and some of our non-game species and the effects that they have on our ecosystem. I mean, it's funny, when Mr. Winter was talking, I was thinking of all the times that I accidentally caught a buffalo or a sheephead and thought, what on earth is this? This is not a walleye. They're usually pretty fun fish to catch. So I was hoping that Dr. David could talk a little bit about the science of our ecosystem management and the roles that some of these non-typical fish play in our wetlands and ecosystems. And I also think it's important for us to remember how they connect with other iconic Minnesota species beyond angling. So I know we care a lot about our loons and our eagles and of course our walleye. So Dr. David, I don't know if you can talk a little bit about the role that all of these fish play in our ecosystem and what the science is that tells us about needing to protect them.
Dr. David.
Thanks. Those are great questions. And that's science that my lab's been working on. I've been focusing on this with native and, you know, quote unquote, rough fish species for over 22 years, ranging from the Great Lakes in the Midwest all the way down to Louisiana. So what we found is that no matter what ecosystem they're in, a lot of these fish like bowfin and gar serve as apex predators. They help maintain balance within ecosystems, much like thinking about wolves in Yellowstone or in a given system. So they can actually prevent stunting from panfish or even, you know, other types of more popular game fish. We also look at their ecological roles in food webs and also in nutrient cycling. There's actually large carbon stores with suckers as they move into tributaries, much like salmon in the Pacific Northwest, moving nutrients and sort of helping to foster growth in a given aquatic ecosystem. So there's a lot of factors where they contribute to native ecosystems, even if they don't traditionally have the value to sort of the traditional fisheries management that we've been sort of doing for decades. So the times are changing for that. And to get at some of the previous questions, I was part of the team that looked at this rough fish designation nationally. And so we've identified the knowledge gaps. We've identified how that sort of tipped the scales more towards these more popular game fishes. So in speaking with Brad Parsons and others in Minnesota DNR earlier today, we're very eager to help them identify those knowledge gaps. And so I think it's not so much that the hard science needs to be done. That exists in other places that we can contribute to a report. It's identifying what are the gaps in knowledge in Minnesota that we can therefore task other scientists, other agencies to look into those gaps. And so luckily we've got a lot of basis for that science there, but the take-home message is they do perform valuable ecosystem services And when you're talking about other organisms, they're indicators of good ecosystem health and ecosystem function. Therefore, if you find healthy populations of gars, bowfins, and buffalo, that's usually going to be healthy habitats for your loons and for your other game species. They serve as hosts for freshwater mussels, which are great indicator species. So wide applications of the value of these native species.
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Dr. David answered a lot of my questions, but I did want to let him know that I'm a huge fan of his Twitter feed, and I follow him and the Gar Lab on Twitter, and I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you how much that means to me. So thank you for being here, and thank you for all your work on behalf of our fish.
Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just going to warn everybody, I'm going to be a bit grouchy. We've just spent 40 minutes on a bill that isn't ready. There's a reason that this hasn't gone to the LCCMR, and I would suspect after 6 years serving there, it probably wouldn't get support there. There's a reason it's here in this committee, and that's probably because we could force it potentially. And even though it's got a long ways to go, we've spent a very large amount of time on something that we easily could have placed as a bill or something that has a high priority. And we're going to be coming to a point shortly when testimony will probably be tightening up and we'll have less time to discuss issues that are super important in this committee. Not to be completely obnoxious, but I'm a little frustrated. I'm hoping that more legislation, more bills can come that are a high priority and ready to go, Mr. Chair. And the questions that came from DNR, I think, are really critical. Clearly, there's questions about the financing of how this would actually move forward, the implementation and the timelines. So just trying to make sure, Mr. Chair, that our time is well spent going forward. And I hope maybe another time you might be able to give me the same message if things aren't always the same. So I'll do my best to keep us on track and to pull my time and move forward. Now we can, I suppose, move on to the next bill. But that's my comment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Heintzman. You know, the beautiful thing about the legislative process is when there are questions and input, it happens in front of the public, and that you members can put forward bills and you build the bill in the committee. I know that that is sometimes not a common practice, but it is a good practice. And so Representative Becker Finn has this bill here. We've had great testimony. I thought some very good questions. And, you know, often we run into a chicken or egg question. Well, this shouldn't be done here. It should be there. It shouldn't be done here. It should be there. It should be there. It shouldn't be here. And then what happens is process bogs down the product. So I think we've had a good step. I take into account your input. But this is how the system is supposed to work. And I'm sure we're going to hear from the general public and our constituents on bills, not only this one, but other ones as we move forward. We do have the ability to multitask, and we have the ability to take issues one after the other. So, you know, I understand what you're saying. It's the first day of our committees, and this is the first bill. So, Representative Heintzman, then I see Mr. Parsons and Representative Becker Finn have a comment. Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I covered it, and I appreciate your response. Just looking for some hopefully less bill making in this committee and more discussion of the actual business that needs to get done. But I understand your perspective. Thank you.
And I look forward to some bipartisan support perhaps on the next bill. Mr. Parsons.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Heintzman, your comments are well taken. Again, I certainly need to reiterate that the department is fully supportive of the concept of this, elevating the our native species and making sure that just because it's not a walleye or a bass, that it's not worth our time. And I can't reiterate more. It's almost a personal thing for me, and I know it is for very, very many other people. And we will work very hard to make sure that the concept of this moves forward.
Representative Becker Finn.
Just ready to close us out if you're ready, Mr. Chair.
I am ready.
All right. House Bill 2764, folks have actually looked at the bill. It's a report. It's not meant to be every solution to this complicated and interesting place that we find ourselves in 2022 when it comes to fish. And so just want to remind folks that it's a bill that sets up a report. And, you know, one of the great things about being a chair is that you can also choose to lift up different issues that are important to Minnesotans, even if it maybe isn't something that's in the headlines. And so I just want to thank you, Mr. Chair, for lifting up this issue, because I know that I hear about this. It's the number of times someone has randomly come up to me and been like, you know, that thing about GAR? That really was a cool hearing. I really appreciated that. And so I think, you know, the connecting with Minnesotans and how they see our natural world and the species that are our natural resources is really a good thing. And so we'll just close by saying that, you know, I think all creatures, great and small, have a role in our ecosystem, regardless of the value placed on them in a capitalist system. You know, every single one of these living beings does have value because it is part of a greater ecosystem and part of that web. And I think regardless of your spiritual or cultural beliefs, those of us who hunt and fish, you know, there's an ethic that goes with that as we conserve and see ourselves as conservationists. And so would really appreciate folks' support for the No Junk Fish bill and would renew my motion that this bill be laid over for possible inclusion. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to our testifiers.
Representative Becker Finn renews her motion that House File 2764 be laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill. The bill is laid over. And Minnesotans, what that means is it's going to be worked on. So if you have input or any ideas, contact Representative Becker Finn. Next up, I'm going to turn the gavel, or in this case, the hockey puck, over to Vice Chair Wasilewicz as I have the next bill up. So Vice Chair Wasilewicz.
All right, next up on the agenda is House File 2819. Representative Hansen, would you like to move your bill?
Yes, Madam Chair. I will move that House File 2819 be recommended to be re-referred to the Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law Committee.
Representative Hansen moves that House File 2819 be recommended to be re-referred to Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law. Representative Hansen, would you like to briefly explain the bill, and then we'll get to your testifiers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The issue of trespass has been a concern with outdoor recreation for a long time. And this bill relates to civil penalties regarding snowmobiles. And as with many complex things, it has involved a lot of work. And the interests that have been involved in that work have worked with the agency and have drafted this bill, which I am authoring. And so that is House File 2819. It is a hope that this will help resolve issues related to snowmobile trespassing and clarify some of the responsibilities. And I have with me first today, Doug Franson with the Minnesota United Snowmobilers Association.
Mr. Franson, if you could just introduce yourself for the record and then provide your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Doug Franson, and I am representing the Minnesota United Snowmobilers today. As I was watching the first bill, and I'm coming to you from beautiful Craigens Resort in East Gull Lake, Minnesota, and it's a beautiful day here. And I was thinking, I'll be spending the next 4 days outside. And upon reflection, Minnesota, and I'm not the only one, and snowmobiling is not the only sport outside. Minnesotans are a strange and wonderful breed. We think it's only 5 below 0, so let's go spend the day outside. Try to explain that to someone from Florida. You just can't. But we are truly blessed as Minnesotans to have the resources we are and to use them responsibly. I'm sure I may be repetitive for some of you, but Minnesota has over 22,000 miles of snowmobile trails and approximately 900 to 1,000, give or take, are what we call state trails. The rest are what we call grant and aid trails developed and maintained by snowmobile clubs with oversight from local units of government. And under our law, landowners throughout the state permit public access to their land for recreation, for snowmobile recreation, and any other recreation if you have that permission. And you don't have to be a member of MNUSA to enjoy Minnesota snowmobile trails. I will say it's a pretty good idea, and if anyone wants to email me after, I can facilitate the transaction. We have a problem in Minnesota, and there is also a problem in the snowbelt nationwide, and that's an increase in trespass, people taking their machines off the trail, off that portion of the land that the landowner has granted us permission, and kind of going all over the land. Landowners don't like trespass. And without our landowners, at least 20,000 miles of those 22,000 miles disappear. They are doing a public service, and we want to do everything to support them. In fact, we want to do everything we can to support a safe and responsible culture of snowmobiling and other outdoor recreation. As Chairman Hansen has said, we've worked with other motorized groups, we've worked with the DNR, and our work product is before you. It's pretty straightforward. It simply increases the fines for trespass. Because what we have found, and there will be testimony to this effect, is that the current fine structure does not deter trespass. And I do want to say, for a lot of landowners, the trespass is a very, very serious problem, be it by ATV, snowmobile, OHV, whatever, particularly if they planted, for example, a winter wheat crop. A lot of times these machines are capable of tearing that up. And what we think is we tried to find something that would really catch the trespassers' attention. People trespass for two reasons. One, and I think this is the dominant reason, they don't know any better. And we in the DNR spend a lot of time and money doing public education on that. And there are other folks that really don't care. They're selfish, they're thoughtless. They understand the consequences and they don't really care. We're simply addressing that second group, hoping that we can get them to care. We think it's a great idea. We think it's critically important. It's one tool in our toolbox to promote and ensure responsible snowmobiling throughout Minnesota. And with that, it's not a tremendous fine, but after, frankly, years of discussion, it came down on increasing the fines, the first offense, from $100 to $250, or is it 50?
50.
Yeah, it was 50 to 250. The second offense would be $500, and the third offense would be $1,000. If that sounds draconian to you, I will tell you our membership think it's too modest, but I think it's the right thing. We have a number of people say take away their snowmobile at that point. And I think we do have Colonel Smith from the DNR to talk about how they would enforce the law and the department's position. But I also have with me the chair of our legislative committee, and I believe he has signed up. And if it's all right, I'll just pass my computer to the next Chair, and he will give you a real life example of the problem we're trying to fix.
Is this Terry Hutchinson?
Yes.
Okay, yep, he's on the list. So Mr. Hutchinson, if you can introduce yourself for the record so we know who you are, and then you can start your testimony.
Alrighty, thank you. My name is Terry Hutchinson. I live in the Southwest Prior Lake area of the state. Been doing legislative chairman for not as long as Doug, but almost. But just an example, in my county where I live, about 3 years ago, our sheriff had five trespassers written up because they were out in a farmer's field. They actually went around his house and come back to the road. And the fine is $50. So one of them pulled out a $100 bill and tried to give it to the sheriff and say, can you just take care of this for me when you go back and just keep the change? So, I mean, that's a clear example of what they think of $50. It's nothing. So then after that, we worked with our county attorney and we presently charge $200 now. It's a misdemeanor and you can pick what you want. So we're charging $200 now in our county, ends up about $280. And I would say we've gotten rid of 60 to 70% of the trespassers. So increasing the fines work. And we've got all four groups with us that want to do that. So otherwise, that's all I have to add. Thank you.
And Madam Chair, the four group, Doug Franzen, the four groups we're talking about are the motorized recreation, ATV Minnesota, Minnesota United Snowmobile Association, the off-road truckers, and who's the fourth?
And the off-road motorcycles.
And thank you. We stand united in our support for this needed, important, and hopefully non-controversial legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Franzen and Mr. Hutchinson. I see Representative Hansen, you've unmuted. Did you have something you wanted to add real quick or go on to next testifier?
I just wanted to thank them for their advocacy and the challenge of trying to put together compromise effort. And obviously some people think this is too much, some people think it's not enough. But it's important we take some action, and I hope we can move this out of committee with strong support. I think Representative Eklund has a question.
Representative Eklund, is your question, can we take that now, or should we do the last testifier? I think we'll do testifier first, and then we'll take your question, if that's okay, Representative Eklund. All right, next up, we have Colonel Rodman Smith. Colonel, if you can introduce yourself for the record and then provide your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colonel Rodman Smith, Director of Enforcement, Department of Natural Resources. Madam Chair, members, first I just want to start off by saying that, the members of MNUSA, ATV Association of Minnesota, Off-Highway Motorcycle, Four-Wheel Drive, the members are the ones that want to bring this forward. And it just goes to show the tremendous stewardship and the value they place on the cooperation they have with private landowners. As Mr. Franzen said, there's over 22,000 miles of snowmobile trails in the state of Minnesota. I think that's more than state highway miles. We have about 180 conservation officers at any given time to patrol that. So it is difficult to catch people in the act when they are trespassing. The civil citation authority is going to give our officers another tool in their tool belt, because then they can also bring forward some restitution if there is damage that occurs, like Mr. Franzen said, on some crops. And so I'll keep it short and I'll just say the department supports this, and we appreciate the member groups bringing this forward and Chair Hansen bringing this forward. Thank you.
Thank you for the testimony. We will move to questions now. So I saw Representative Eklund's hand, so we'll go to you, Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this isn't a question, this is a comment. I'm proud to be a co-author on this legislation. When I have to see my local ATV groups and local snowmobile groups have to put out social media and take out advertising every day, please stay on, or every year at the start of the seasons, please stay on the trails, because landowners are granting us easement. It's about time that we do something that's going to take care of I'll call them the slob writers of the world that don't like to play by the rules. So thank you, Representative Hansen, for this this legislation. And Doug, I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
My apologies. I actually did miss another person who's on our list to testify. So we'll go back to Ron Potter, and then we'll take further questions after Mr. Potter is done. Mr. Potter, if you can just identify yourself for the record and then proceed.
Madam Chair, my name is Ron Potter. I am the president of ATV Association of Minnesota, and we just want to voice our support of this bill. Like the Snowmobile Association, we have a lot of our trails on private land. We rely on those landowners to give us permission. Typically, that's a one-year permit for no fee, and in exchange, they expect our riders to stay on the trail. So trespass is certainly a big issue. And in this day and age with technology the way it is, there's no way for people not to know where they're at if they want to know where they're at. So we strongly support this change. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Potter. And I see Representative Heintzman has his hand up. Representative Heintzman.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Just a brief comment. It's a good bill. Thank you, Chair Hansen, for bringing this forward. Let's go ahead and vote on it and get it moving. It needs to become law. Typically, if these sorts of enhancements to trespassing statute are moving forward and it doesn't negatively impact trappers, you're going to get a lot of support from my members. So let's go. Sounds good.
Thank you, Representative Heintzman. I see Representative Green has his hand up as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For me, I just clarification that the bill is really loaded down with statutes, and I tried looking them up, and it looks like most of the statutes are for public lands as I'm looking them up. And I think that right now private lands are already, well, ag land is already classified. You can be charged with trespassing for going on ag land. But if it's not ag land and not posted, then there's no charge. And so I'm wondering if in these statutes in this is for the bill author, if what exactly does it address as far as the private versus public lands?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And members, if you look on 1.18, Representative Green had said a civil citation under first paragraph shall require restitution for public and private property damage and impose a penalty. So you've got civil authority, which will be discussed in Chair Becker Finn's committee, and then the penalties as well. The citations, the statutory citations above that, talked on existing statutes. What we're dealing here is with the increasing the penalties on the first offense. And again, then you go farther down and allocating the penalty accounts where that goes. So, Colonel Smith, if I am in error there, if you want to add to that, that would be helpful.
Madam Chair, mm-hmm. Madam Chair, and Chair Hansen and Representative Green, the other thing this does is it does add that snowmobiles can be given civil citations. And so prior to this, we couldn't issue a civil citation to a snowmobile in violation. So there looks like a few strikeouts here, like line 1.10, 1.12, 1.14. They just add 8490 down to line 117. And so that's really the big change here. They're just moving around a couple statutes, adding snowmobile and increasing the fine, and then where the receipts go.
Representative Green, did that answer your question, or do you have a
follow-up? Well, I think that I'm just going to do more digging. I probably won't vote for the bill today until I get some more clarification as to maybe some of the issues that Representative Heintzman brought up as far as if it's going to spill over and affect trapping or not, but and dig more into the statutes. It's always tough to try to get through those statutes, especially when you're not here where you're supposed to be, and this thing is really loaded down. And so, no, that will do it for now. Thanks.
All right. Any further discussion? I'm not seeing any hands. Representative Hansen, did you have any closing remarks?
Just thank you for your support. And, you know, you members can co-author the bill. We are in session today, so just add on as a co-author on House File 2819. Happy to support that. And I would renew my motion that House File 2819 be recommended be referred to the Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law Committee.
Representative Hansen renews his motion that House File 2819 be recommended to be re-referred to the Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law Committee. The clerk will take the roll on the motion.
All right. Chair Wasowick?
Aye.
Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Representative Heintzman?
Aye.
Representative Acomb?
Aye.
Representative Ackland? Representative Ackland?
Aye.
Representative Backer?
Backer votes aye.
Representative Becker Finn?
Aye.
Representative Ackland?
Aye.
Representative Fisher?
Fisher, aye.
Representative Green?
No.
Representative Igo?
Igo votes aye.
Representative Jordan?
Jordan, aye.
Representative Keeler?
Keeler, aye.
Representative Lee?
Lee, aye.
Representative Lippert?
Lippert, aye.
Representative Lewick?
Lewick, aye.
Representative Morrison?
Morrison, aye.
Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
And Representative Tice?
Tice, aye.
All right. The vote is 18 aye, 1 nay.
And with that, the motion prevails and the bill is on its way to the next committee stop. And I will turn over the gavel slash puck back to Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, committee members.
Thank you. Representative Heintzman, would you like to move Representative Erdahl's bill to be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill, House File 2792?
I would. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Heintzman moves. Representative Erdahl, to your bill. Welcome to the committee.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Glad to be here today. I have a quick and easy bill, I think. Nothing fishy about it at all. The Loose Line Trail runs from Plymouth to Cosmos. It's about 63 miles. Follows a former railroad grade. And it passes within around 5 miles of Greenleaf Lake Recreation Area in Meeker County, southern Meeker County. And so what I'd like to do is to modify current statute to allow for a connection to Greenleaf Lake Recreation Area from the Loose Line Trail. This, I'm not asking in this bill that a trail be built, but it can't even be given future consideration unless this change is made. So that's all my bill does.
And I believe we have a testifier from DNR Parks. Is that correct?
They are available.
Andrew Korsberg, DNR Parks and Trails Policy and Planning Supervisor. Welcome.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. For the record, my name is Andrew Korsberg, and I'm the Policy and Planning Supervisor for Parks and Trails. I'll just say, you know, DNR is supportive of this bill and this addition to the state trail system. The bill would authorize, as Representative Erdahl shared, a section of trail connecting the existing Loose Line State Trail to the Greenleaf State Recreation Area. Changing the state trail authorizing statute is the first step in creating the trail. And doing so will allow the DNR to take those first steps in establishing the trail, including a master plan. As he mentioned, the Loose Line State Trail currently runs 63 miles from Plymouth to Cosmos and travels through Hutchinson. This trail connection will help extend the use of the Loose Line State Trail by adding this this destination, as well as connecting the city of Hutchinson to the rec area via a safe biking and walking trail. It's also, you know, worth noting for everyone that this language is intended to be included in the DNR's policy and technical bill this year. So just in conclusion, this would be a nice addition to the loose line, and I want to thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for the chance to speak to it. Thank you.
Members, are there any questions? Representative Acom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and thank you, Representative Erdahl. I represent the east end of the Loose Line Trail in Plymouth, and I know that in our community, we are so grateful for the network of trails that we have, and it's an amenity that our community values greatly. And so I appreciate this effort, and I will be supporting it today, so thank you.
Members, any other questions? Representative Erdahl, would you like to close?
Just thank you very much. Appreciate the support, and look forward to seeing Representative Acom bike out to Greenleaf someday. I could meet her in Cedar Mills and do the last 5 miles. Thank you.
Representative Heinzman, would you like to renew your motion?
I would.
Representative Heinzman renews his motion that House File 2792 be laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill. The bill is laid over. Members, just looking ahead a little bit, we're done ahead of time. We will be next Tuesday having a Bowser Day. I anticipate quite a few testifiers on that. The Wetland Mitigation Bill, Representative Sundin, CRP bill, and then Representative Torkelson had a bill. So I think that'll be a fairly full day. And then next Thursday, we will have a lot of PFAS bills. So Representative Wozlewick has introduced a number of bills. I believe, Vice Chair Wozlewick, have those been introduced and are available for people to see?
Yes, the ski wax, cookware, and cosmetics ones have all been introduced and are out there. And then I believe there's one more food disclosure that should be popping up pretty soon.
Great. So if members have some questions or concerns, I'd encourage them to talk with Vice Chair Wozlewick. Also on Tuesday, I forgot to mention the Outdoor Recreation Task Force report. I know there's gonna be a bill coming, but we wanted to give the opportunity for that report on Tuesday. And then again, next Thursday, we had some discussion about the MLCAT. I think Representative Richardson will be having that bill in front of us with an amendment potentially clarifying some things. So, and then we're into the third week, and we'll be looking at bills potentially coming from other committees into our jurisdiction. So any questions? Representative Heinzman, do you have any questions?
No, Mr. Chair, thank you. It sounds like we'll have a lot of new material this session. Looking forward to that. Hopefully not too many retreads. We've heard a number of those in years past, but I think that there's plenty on the agenda. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
And members and Minnesotans, if bills have been heard already, they don't have to be heard, but they can still, they don't have to be heard again and can show up in an omnibus bill for consideration on the floor. So I anticipate we'll be having a lot of very varied issues coming in front of the committee during the next few weeks. So thank you and look forward to seeing you on the floor. We are adjourned.